This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I got to hand it to the suspects today. You guys are on fire, and I love it. I love, love, love it because of the fact that we haven't seen this many text messages, and we get a ton of text messages, but the text, tweets, calls, participation, it's unreal, and we appreciate it. Because, look, we were willing to switch topics like we normally would have done by now, but we realized the passion. And that's why I'm sitting here reading text messages, which I normally don't do because Barry does. But you guys have such great takes. Everything, for the most part, the calls have been great. And some of these takes are absolutely fantastic. So, again, I'll race through a few of these. We'll get to some calls. And then we'll get to some other things. And Josh has that story about what we were talking about with the Bengals. Says, that's why we're pissed, Joel. We have no picks. We have no money to sign free agents. We have to pay Tunsil and Watson. And we don't have the team to do anything more than go to the divisional round of the playoffs or the coaching staff we believe in. That's from Adam. Okay? So after that, then we get to, I was happy to spend $5,000 plus on Astros playoff tickets. Screamed my lungs out. Didn't mind getting home late. Last night, work offered me tickets on the sidelines to go. I didn't want to deal with traffic. I only watched half the game. They are the definition of perpetual mediocrity, and they are also led by the most unlikable leader in sports. One and done in the playoffs at best, ain't getting it done. Wow.
That says everything right there.
It really does. Another caller said, you can beat the Pats all you want in the regular season. If you can't beat them in the playoffs, it's irrelevant. It's kind of like the Warriors, right?
Yeah, it is.
In a lot of ways. And someone else said, this is Houston sending a message. We don't like what we see. Something needs to change. We need a championship. It's been more than 12 years of nothing. Man.
I never thought I'd see it like this. Especially, they won. They're 7-4. They're probably going to win the division. And we talked about this earlier. When you have a special quarterback, you've always got a chance. But it's obviously other stuff. Everybody says they like Deshaun. It's not him.
It is absolutely the fact. You're absolutely right. The one consistent on the positive side is people love Deshaun Watson and know how special he is and how happy they are he's a Texan. Everyone else is not without scrutiny right now. And that starts from the top because the owner has to be scrutinized more for the fact that we've been putting up with this for way too long, right?
Yeah. And I was thinking about this when I was watching the game last night because I knew we were going to do the show today. And I was trying to kind of put my thoughts together for, all right, what's the take if they win? What's the take if they lose? And it's kind of funny. It doesn't really seem to matter, does it?
Someone said Lincoln Riley or Urban Meyer if you're looking for a replacement for Bob. Both college coaches. I mean, we're seeing Cliff Kingsbury try and do it. But normally you got to be on the NFL level for a little bit to be a really good. And look, this isn't a team starting over, trying to find someone, because it'll be interesting. Lincoln Riley is supposedly the number one pick for the Cowboys should they move on from Jason Garrett. Great offensive mind, but as Kingsbury will tell you, it's a huge undertaking coaching in the NFL as opposed to coaching in college.
Absolutely. And I'd probably lean towards Lincoln just because he's younger. Some of the health problems with Urban, you know, that's a little scary, but nothing's going to happen anytime soon. And I think that's why everybody, we're getting so much on the text line and on Twitter. And we started the show talking about some positive things. What a great job Romeo Crennel did with the defense, the way he adjusted from the first game to where they threw all over the Texans. This game, Romeo's like, you know what? You can run on us, but we're not going to let you throw all over us. It worked. They won the game. You get Will Fuller back. He opens up the offense. DeAndre Hopkins looks like himself again. There were a lot of positives in that game. But I think calling the timeout at the end of the game, Bill O'Brien right there, where there could have been a review and it could have cost him the game, I think it just reminded everybody, like, man, even in the games they win, he almost blows it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And again, as much as we can say the overwhelming positive is Deshaun, the overwhelming negative is obviously Bill O'Brien. And as I go through more of these text messages, you know, people asking, if they swap coaches, who's better, Cowboys or Texans?
Ooh, I think maybe because of the injuries right now, Cowboys, you know, better on defense. I think I'd take the Texans on offense. So okay. I'm kind of sitting on the fence there.
The word is predictability. with Bill O'Brien and the franchise. Keeping him around is predictable. Texans culture as a franchise, predictable. Having letdowns in every big game, predictable. Playing soft at the end of games, predictable. The franchise just seems lame and refuses to make changes. Even the team name is lame. The Houston Texans first down chant is lame. Good Lord, the Clay Walker song is lame. It's also his fault. So now we're blaming Clay Walker.
We kind of should on that one, Joel. We should blame him because that's the one thing the Astros got when the new ownership came in. They changed all the uniforms. They kind of pulled from like the Colt 45s kind of look, and the, you know, they made the Astros look differently. They, you know, they put new people in charge. They put a new broadcast team in charge. You know, the Astros, they changed everything when ownership shifted, and it feels like, you know, the Texans, everything's been the same since day one, except for the players.
It's a good point. And again, but here's the thing that really is perplexing to me, because this is not the first. This is just another one of multiples I've gotten like this today. We read one of them earlier. I really think last night was just a weeknight game, tough coming off a big loss. I'm a diehard fan, but honestly, I didn't care we were playing. If you're a diehard fan and you didn't care that your team was playing the biggest game of the year, you're fooling yourself because you're not a diehard fan. You are a fair weather fan to the umpteenth degree. So with that being said, let's continue to move on. You had a story about the Bengals.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, we're complaining about a win for some reason. What about if you're a Bengals fan right here? They're the only winless team in the league, Joel, 0-10. And we have this guy that he made a bet that he was going to live on his roof until the Bengals win. He's been stuck there now for 6 weeks.
I mean, that's what I was talking about when yes. I said things could be a hell of a lot worse. You're pissed off at a coach slash general manager of a team that has you in first place in a division that's going to take you to the playoffs for the fifth time in 7 years. And you could be living on top of a building for the next year before you get a win, realizing that most fans are going to put grocery bags over their head by then.
Yes. I mean, it's... And I made the joke, it's only for the season, but if they go 0-16, should he have to stay on that roof until next September? I mean, I'm just saying, if he's going to do it until they win a game, I think he should have to go the whole year round.
I mean, right, off-season, I'm with you. Off-season you know? Is something you got to, yeah, you got to keep doing it. And believe me, those Cincinnati winters are cold. But that's why I kept saying it's so perplexing to me that you have all these positives, you love your quarterback, you love being in first place. I understand the playoffs are a different animal, and it's the same. Like I said, the parallels with the Rockets are start with Bill O'Brien and James Harden, start with playoff failures, start with the fact that the Texans are constantly chasing the Patriots, the Rockets are constantly chasing the Golden State Warriors up until this year. So there's a lot of parallels. The difference, as you had said, when you bring the Astros into the equation, is once the new ownership took over with Jim Crane, everything else changed.
They changed everything. Their sideline people, their broadcast team, the uniforms, just the stadium. They don't have a hill out there anymore.
Now, Tillman didn't do any of that. He wasn't afraid to pull the trigger on a big trade with Russell Westbrook.
That's true. And let's get into the Rockets for a second. They got the Clippers here tonight. They had a lot of great momentum until they lost to Denver. You're not real... I don't know. You don't have a great feeling about tonight's game, do you? You think the Clippers are gonna come with it pretty hard?
I think the Clippers are going to send a message because they know that what everybody sees, if they didn't see the box score and realize that the first time these two teams played here in Houston, Kawhi played, Paul George didn't, and the Rockets got a win. And I think that when they showed you the other night on national TV their ability to get a ton out of their entire lineup when PG and Kawhi are both playing, and their role players and how good they are, and the fact that they beat the Celtics with the best record in the league in overtime because of it, they're going to show you tonight, again on national TV, when we play and we have our full complement, the Rockets are not going to beat us like that. I think they're going to try and send a message tonight. And I, you know what? I hope I'm wrong. But I see that's the way. This could be the first Rockets losing streak of the season, having lost in Denver. But I hate to say this, but a lot of people that I've gotten messages from electronically and digitally have said to me that the Denver game, regardless of how many games they won in a row, showed something that this is going to be the same situation with the Rockets as we've been talking about with the Texans. That surprises me. We're not even 20 games in or whatever it is, and people are going to pass judgment like that?
That's where we are now. It's a really strange place to be.
Is it contagious? Is it Texans fever carrying over? Anti-Texans fever carrying over?
It has to be because, I think about this, and just wrap your mind around this, Joel. You're a Packers fan, right? Like, mm-hmm. Packers fans, they are loyal to their team. I hear Houston fans, like, finding other NFL teams that are kind of like their other favorite NFL team and kind of following them. You know what I mean? Like, that's actually a thing, and I think part of it's fantasy football, to where a lot of fans, and especially younger fans, have started following players instead of following teams. But I actually see Houston fans kind of, oh, this is my NFC team that I root for. And, you know, this isn't going to be popular, but are you ever going to see a Cowboys fan that says something like that? Even when the Cowboys are terrible. You know what I mean? Like, they are diehard Cowboys fans. They're annoying. They're in your face. But they're loyal to their squad. And it's, I wish I saw a little more of that loyalty in Houston for the Texans. And look, I understand why. Trust me. I am a Texans fan. But, man, am I frustrated with, just like all you guys are. But when things are going good, I'd like to at least enjoy it when things are going good.
That was my whole thing. I looked forward coming in today because we were going to talk about the Texans getting a win that a lot of people doubted.
Yeah.
What a great win to come off of to realize you're probably going to win the division again.
Yes.
You got a chance. You can't win it if you're not in it. And you're going to be in the dance. And yet here we are today talking about everything we're talking about. So we're going to continue to do that. 713-780-3776. Join the show, won't you? Also want to remind you real quickly before we go to the break, world-renowned Beatles expert Howard Goodall coming to Houston to share his insights into the creative genius that was and is the Beatles. The one-of-a-kind event will take place Monday, December the 16th at the beautiful George Theater. Thanks to St. Luke's Music with friends Jaguar Houston Central, Land Rover Houston Central, and Momentum Mini. Doors opening at 6:30 include light bites before and after. Goodall's presentation, plus a Q&A with our own Ken Hoffman, perhaps Houston's biggest Beatles fan. It's an exceptional, rare opportunity. It's the first time Goodall has given his presentation on the Beatles in the United States, and you could be there. Tickets available now, sportsmap.com. Back with more ESPN 97.5. You only got 6 cars. I ain't
with the cake and how you kiss that. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Honest Radio, ESPN 97.5, as we continue on a Friday here on The Usual Suspects. Look, I want your perspective too, Josh. I want to hear, and Aaron too, because of the fact that you guys have been in the city, you've been around sports, you see what's going on. I mean, we've exhausted Texans talk, but even from a Rockets perspective, you don't feel the people, you don't feel the excitement. You know, your owner, as much as he didn't do what the Astros did, he didn't overturn the front office, he didn't get the right CEO and change up some other things and change the uniforms and do this and do that, but he did get you Russell Westbrook. He did address a problem that people thought was impossible to address, which was get rid of a huge contract and a completely depreciating asset in Chris Paul and bring in a younger, better version of him in Russell Westbrook in a lot of ways. But yet people, one, won't get excited about the Rockets. They say, like even Barry says, until Christmas. Then two, they won't get completely bought in hook, line, and sinker about this team until the playoffs. But yet they won't show up until they play the Warriors, or in this case, I would say this year it would be either the LA teams. And it starts to be more of a trend and a pattern and a habit than just one of those things. And then when you see it happen in two different sports, it becomes extremely troubling.
A lot of sameness on both teams there, Joel. With, you know, Harden, we've seen this season after season after season, you know, great in the regular season, struggles in the playoffs. We come to count on that now every year. You know, Texans, 9-7, AFC South champs, Brian. Yeah, we come to count on that every year now. I think, you know, people are just tired of seeing the same thing. And it's the predictability. That's what our callers keep talking about, the texters. They know what's going to happen before it happens. And yeah, we are a little bit spoiled, but, you know, I just got a text here, you know, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
True.
So if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, well, you know what's going to happen. You got to shake it up a little bit. Shake the etch-a-sketch, as they say these days. But when you're winning, you don't want to shake it because you know how close you are and you know how hard it is to get that close. You know, we're talking about the Bengals. They haven't won a game all year. What would they give to win their division 3 or 4 years out of five? You know, Cincinnati fans would go crazy. Maybe we do get a little bit spoiled, but it's also the likability factor.
I was going to say, Bill O'Brien and Harden. The Bill O'Brien likability factor and the James Harden likability factor, it's a real deal, folks. You may not want to face it head on. You may be living in this bubble we talked about where the snow globe says everything is sunshine and rainbows, at least until the playoff time. But outside that snow globe, people see a wholly different story. And that's what we saw with the Saints fan that called in, too, that said once they got to Houston and saw it firsthand, they couldn't find a whole lot to like.
And here's the thing, too, Joel, is I think we're kind of as a culture, we're dug in on whatever our take is. You know, we are dug in. And then we just wait for the result of whatever game or whatever season to be a good example of what we're dug in on. So we're nice and quiet when it doesn't fit my narrative. But then when it does, I'm going to jump out and I'm going to be vocal and I'm going to say, I told you so.
And Twitter doesn't help because with Twitter now you can be the faceless, nameless voice of reason.
Yep.
In your own mind. And you can voice your opinion with a little extra oomph and then deal with the consequences only as an anonymous voice.
That's why I try to be fair. You know, when they come out and they win a big game against the Colts, let's say, you know, good job, Texans. You won the game. You got up off the mat after a really tough loss against the Ravens. You played well enough to win the game. Now you're in a good spot to win the division, but now you got to go play the Patriots. You got to do it all over again. But like, I want to see eventually something's going to change. Tom Brady's not going to play forever. You know, something eventually is going to change. You know, Lamar Jackson, you know what? He popped up. Joe Flacco wasn't going to be there forever. Something changed. Matt Schaub's gone. Deshaun Watson's here. Eventually, it's going to get better, or at least different.
Okay, but Josh, on that very argument that you're talking about, if it is going to get better, the trend says, Charlie Poole said it today on his show, the trend says that once every 8 years, you're supposed to get at least as far as like a conference championship
game. Yep.
You're supposed to have been to a Super Bowl already, if not won one. And here we are talking about the same franchise doing the same things the same way with the same results. Yeah, the coaches have changed because someone said, hey, why don't they fire their coach so that they can go to Denver so they can win a Super Bowl? Oh, wait, that's already been done. But I don't think that Bill O'Brien is leaving the Texans. I know a couple years ago, and I think it was Jay Glazer and others that said, if the Texans move on from Bill O'Brien, he will be snapped up in a week or two and have a job right before that. Maybe in college, but now I think even that narrative's changed. I think he's exposed too many weaknesses and shortcomings to where I could see him get another college coaching job. I don't think any NFL team's going to give him their head job.
I think we're too close to it, Joel. You know how it is. Like, the national guys never know your team as well as you do because they're watching everybody. And you're just watching Bill O'Brien every week. And let me play devil's advocate. Let me take O'Brien's side here. You know what he would probably say when you say everything's the same every year? I think he would say, I have Deshaun Watson now. Don't judge me on Ryan Mallett. Don't judge me on Brian Hoyer. You know, don't judge me on Brandon Whedon and Case Keenum. Give me a chance with Deshaun Watson. Give me a couple years to develop this guy and build some talent around him, get an O-line around him, and things will change. Now, that's also on him too, right? Because he wanted Brian Hoyer, and he wanted Ryan Mallett, and he wanted all these guys.
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. And maybe he was smart for doing that because he knows once you draft a quarterback, the time clock, it starts on you and your job. So he knows that the time clock didn't really start on him until he got Deshaun Watson. So here's his chance to do it, and he would probably say, give me my chance. Deshaun, he came off the ACL. He's starting to get healthy. We're putting some pieces around him. Give me, you know, judge me in the next 2 or 3 years, and if I don't get it done, I don't get it done. So I'm going to give a little bit of leeway. I'm not a big O'Brien guy, but I'm going to give him a shot because they're close, and anything could happen. Tom Brady's not going to be here forever. I've said that, but I believe it. He's not. You can already see him slowing down.
But here's the problem, though, Josh. He may not be, but Bill O'Brien sure as hell looks like he might be.
He might.
And that's what pisses people off.
Yeah, I get that.
All right, let's roll some of this because we've got, like I said, the suspects have been absolutely fantastic. Yeah. James wants to get in here on Fairweather Fans. James, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. What's up?
What's up?
Hey, so, I mean, the only thing I've been hearing from so-called Texans fans is the mediocrity of the team. I mean, Bill O'Brien this, Bill O'Brien that. Yeah, Bill O'Brien is a problem, but I don't understand where the point of view is where no one is likable on the team.
I don't either.
Deshaun Watson is nationally, you know, televised and is shown on all the commercials that I watch on TV. DeAndre Hopkins is nationally televised as well. One of the best receivers in the league. We came from 2-14 years ago to now we're in the playoffs 5 out of 7 years. I mean, these are times that we're going to remember if they ever do and when they make it to a Super Bowl. To be able to watch that now and then watch that, I mean, I don't understand what people are complaining about. I mean, you get to watch a team from inception, from 2012 when they were inception, and now to watch this, I don't understand what the problem is.
Appreciate the call, James. Good stuff. I mean, look, the other thing that we're forgetting about that people are saying is whether you say it's because of the Ravens game or you're saying it because it happens in every big game or you're saying it because of the playoff failures of the past and what they see is coming as another one in the future. The other overwhelming opinion that we've gotten today and after last week's game was, I've seen this story play out too many times. You've gotten me hook, line, and sinker too many times. I've been in too many times. I've been hurt too many times. I'm not doing it anymore. And I think that, you know, we're not going to take it anymore. We're sick of this. Is another theme that we've seen. Tweets, calls, texts. People, and a lot of them are pointing to the Ravens game, which surprises me. Because we knew what this three-game stretch was going to be. And we said on this show, look, I mean, the big thing is if they won one of the next three, they might be in pretty good shape. And they've already done that. Now they're going into a Patriots game where even if you go 1-2, you've wrapped up the division or you're in a good position to win the division. But if you would somehow, some way beat the Patriots, now you're looking at a really good, like you said, possibility of a bye in the first round.
Yeah, and let's not forget, the Ravens smashed the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, they did.
They did. Look, there was a turnover where they could have been up 21-0 or 28-0, and that game wouldn't have been as close as it was.
Right.
So there's still the makings of a team that could change a lot of people's mind, but it seems like because as long as Bill O'Brien's the coach, they're not willing to accept that that might possibly happen. And now this, Adam Schefter reporting that what is being reported as an elbow injury, the Patriots are listing Tom Brady as questionable for Sunday's matchup with the Cowboys. Jarrett Stidham, the rookie from Auburn, would be Brady's backup. If that lingers, you don't care how you do it. Obviously, you'd like to beat him full strength. But if that lingers into next week and the Texans can capitalize on that as well, again, I mean, are you still this butthurt and bent out of shape and not willing to forget the sins of the past to try and resurrect things in the future? I don't know.
And I don't know. Did I just jinx Tom Brady?
Way to go, Josh. We're going to have you do that more often. All right, Adrian wants to get in here before the break on the comparison between the Texans and the Bengals. Adrian, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm a long-time listener. A couple times I called in. But real quick, I'm agreeing with everything. Like, all the callers are saying, you know, fair weather fans and stuff like that. Kind of just the same old game over and over again. But I kind of wanted to touch base on this Bengals and Texans comparison. You guys keep saying, you know, Texas fans, you guys could be Bengals fans right now. But I think the difference is you can't really compare those two teams because the Bengals know what they are. They know that if they're lucky, they're going to win a couple of games. But, I mean, the Texans are built to, you know, make it to the AFC championship or, you know, maybe even go to the Super Bowl. But you can't really compare those two teams because they're just not equipped the same way. But besides that, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we kind of already know what the Texans are. As far as being that middle tier, I don't think they'll get far once a playoff start, but, I mean, I'm hoping for the best, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, man. Good stuff, Adrian. Yeah, I mean, look, and again, we've gotten the overwhelming consensus. I think that just goes right in the same column as what we've already been able to log in terms of what people are saying. So from that standpoint, it's not going to change unless they do, right? So they have to beat the Patriots. I'm not going to say it's a must win because they beat the Colts. But it's going to be a process that takes time to change this narrative. And it's going to be people, it's going to be the team and the organization bucking the odds to do what it seems like everybody says can't be done. Win games you're not supposed to win. They did that against the Chiefs and the Chargers and now the Colts. But it hasn't been good enough because of the fact that people still see the big letdown coming. So you're going to have to beat the Patriots. You're going to have to win more than one playoff game. You're going to have to do things that they haven't been able to do in order to win back your fan base. And from an organizational standpoint, you have to weigh all that in the process and say, is the process with the people we have involved going to be able to get that job done, or is it going to take us getting new people in the process for us to maintain that support, likability, and fan base?
No doubt. And for me, it's them almost losing to the Jags early on, the Panthers loss. You know, you just don't really, you know, you expect them to at least be mediocre, and then sometimes they come out and look like that, and then the Ravens game. So it's just the ups and downs against teams that aren't all that good that give you, you know, a little bit of concern.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so we're going to continue to fire on all cylinders going up through the last half hour of the show. Before we get to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. I was there last night. I told you about it. It's the greatest place to watch sports if you're going to get out of the house, because there's five Houston area locations. No matter which one you choose, it's probably close to where you are, and it's going to have everything you need if you're going to leave the house. That means made from scratch menu items, appetizers, and main courses. It's 29 degree draft beers. It's every screen with every sports package on the planet, so you can watch college football on one channel, the Rockets on another channel, NFL football on another channel. You name it, they got it, and they're going to make sure you're able to watch it. And of course, the beautiful Twin Peaks girls are going to be waiting on you to make sure that everything that you want is going to be brought to your table. And with all that being said, the real Black Friday is going to be happening at Twin Peaks. They're going to open their doors early at 10 a.m. So if you don't want to do the shopping thing at all, or you need a break once you've been going at it for a while, take a break, head to Twin Peaks. The girls are going to have a costume party, plus sweet deals like $5 mimosas, Bloody Marys, margaritas, and more. And they're all doing it for you so that you can celebrate and relax on your Black Friday. Check them out. It's one of the five area locations. It's Twin Peaks. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's always got to be Twin Peaks. It's all on the floor. Come on.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, rolling through the final half hour of the show. We take you to 4. Blitz takes you till 7, as the Blitz will be on 4 to 7 as they are back in their regular time slot, just like everybody else today, after a little bit of shuffling of the deck yesterday. And they're going to be coming to you from Las Vegas and Radio Row, getting ready for the Wilder fight this weekend, so that's going to be big. So we've covered a lot of ground today on the Texans. We've covered some ground on the Rockets as well periodically, as it relates to the fans and also as it relates to what they've got going on tonight and where they are in the season and the schedule. There's also some baseball to talk about, because as we know, this Astros story is not going away. Now it's been reopened by the commissioner's office that they're still going to be looking at possibilities of other teams being involved in this kind of stuff. But you've also got pundits, media people, people that do what we do, that have decided that this is what the Astros' behavior is the most strikingly ludicrous, offensive, drastic action ever taken in the sport of baseball.
No doubt. And Joe, have you noticed like most of this is coming from media guys in New York?
Oh, yeah.
You know, big surprise, right? Big Yankee honks that are so upset about what happened to the Astros. How could Houston ever beat New York in anything? Oh, this is why, this huge cheating scandal. You know, forget about all the PEDs and all the stuff the Yankees did. You know, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. So this dude, his name's Brandon Tierney. He does a show with Tiki Barber. I think it's CBS Sports out of New York. And he goes off on this ridiculous rant on all the penalties the Astros should face for what they did in this alleged sign-stealing scandal. And we have some of this audio. And Aaron, I think we got to play this for some of these Astros fans just to hear the crazy narrative that is coming out of New York.
If baseball didn't learn their lesson from the steroid era, the punishment must be harsh. This is not only, and I stand by this, in real time, the largest scandal in North American sports. We're in the middle of it. People need to realize we are in the middle of this, this tsunami of sporting disrepair. All right. But they have to understand that this is now the most pivotal moment in the history of baseball. Hmm. And Rob Manfred better handle this well, and he better handle this harshly, and we'll see what happens. So this is disgraceful. Listen, what I said when Tiki was out, I would go, and I mean this, back-to-back-to-back first-round picks gone. Everybody's saying, well, you know, bang him out for $20 or $50 million. You can't. $2 million is the highest penalty that you can levy against a franchise. So that you start at the $2 million, you take away a multitude of first-round draft picks. I even went so far as to say, ban them from free agent participation, but you can't do that because the players union would and I, you know, once I actually stepped back and I looked at it pragmatically, he's right.
It's hurting the players. The players.
But this is what has to happen. The executives, the managers, the coaches, whoever, you're not going to rip down the championship banner from 2017. It's going to be a, just like my Yankee teams, they won championships with Yankee guys teams. Who were juiced up. You can't take that down. This isn't like the Fab Five with C. Weber and Jalen Rose ripping down banners. These banners stay up. Mm-hmm. So what you do, if it's proven, and I believe that it will be,
that the executives
were involved in this intimately, they are all fired, and I might even go so far as to say they are all banned from baseball. Poor Pete Rose is going to die. Pete Rose is going to die.
Poor Pete Rose is going to die.
Sad, lonely baseball death without ever being enshrined in Cooperstown.
Where does this one rank?
Number
in your
one.
Mind?
Number it, one.
So this is worse than Pete Rose.
This is worse than anything I've ever seen in the NBA, in the NHL, in the National Football League, and anything.
Okay. It's worse than the Black Sox scandal, Joel.
I mean, Pete Rose is going to die. Forget about it. I mean, what I'm telling you right now is forget of everything you ever heard about in sports. The one thing I know is the Houston Astros are the biggest a-holes on the planet, and they need to be taken out of the league. They're now going to be playing AAA for 3 years.
Jeff Luhnow, A.J. Hinch, banned from baseball forever.
You know who he is? General manager Jeff Luhnow. No more you. You're out. Good Lord.
And I think my cousin in the Bronx, he's going to take him, he's going to tie him up, and then they're going to take the baseball. We're going to let Aaron Judge do some batting practice on his nads. That's how we're going to punish the Astros.
Seriously.
We're going to beat him to death on the pitcher's mound.
Put him to lyrics to another Biggie song. I mean, tied up in the Brooklyn basement. I mean, seriously. I mean, and the other thing is, I'm glad he better have sources, because I'm glad that he. I mean, if they are granted, if they're proven guilty, and I know that they will be, they're gonna be. How do you know? How does anybody know? We've got guys on social media insinuating that if a player walks by a card table with a laptop on it, they were cheating. So let's wait, as we've said all along, for the whole thing to play out. But again, as we talk about with the Texans, as we talk about with Harden and the Rockets, and now we're talking about with the Astros. Houston is hated.
Yes.
Across the country in sports right now.
That comes with success, though. You know what I mean?
But success in the playoffs?
Well, for the Astros.
The Astros, yes. 1 year.
Yeah.
Good run, but 1 year.
Well, I mean, World Series appearance twice and an ALCS
sure.
appearance, you know, but in the last 3 years.
But a series that they were that most heavily favored in a World Series
yeah.
in, what, 10, 15 years? And they didn't win.
Poor Pete Rose is going to die.
How the hell is
what
that?
What does that have to do
How
with
the hell is this bigger than Pete Rose betting on baseball? I get it. You still have to hit the ball. You still have to hit the pitch thrown. You still have to execute in so many different ways, as opposed to a manager that could pull the strings to intentionally lose, bet on it, and capitalize on it. But yet the Astros scandals.
Dude, and that's not the end of it. There was one of these other New York guys that went on. Altuve's MVP needs to be pulled from him. And then one of the other guys is like, well, they didn't do that with Barry Bonds. Like, how are you going to do that with Altuve? And he's like, well, I mean, I don't know. And he's like, that's voted on by the writers. How is Major League Baseball going to take away Altuve's MVP award? And then he went on to say whatever money Altuve made off that MVP award, he should be fined that amount of money. I mean, it is crazy. I don't know if our listeners realize like what the New York media is pulling up right now and the crazy things they're saying about the Astros. It's ridiculous.
It's not going away.
No.
Unfortunately, in a lot of ways, you created this mess.
Yeah.
So now it's going to – and again, the one thing that I keep bringing up is Jeff Luno and AJ Hinch may not be around your ball club for most of next season if all of this is true.
It's not. And there's another one that came out today about the whistling that's going on. We knew about the trash can banging.
Right.
But now there's basically it's like a straight sounding kind of whistle, just like a for a fastball, and then kind of like a for a curveball. And then they go through and they show all the whistles during the World Series.
I ask you, though, and you know this from dealing with social media every
sure.
day. How easy is it to overlay the sound on the video?
Anybody can doctor that.
Because, look, as much as we can knock on the Texans and the Rockets crowds, those Astros crowds were rabid.
Yes.
They were incredible. And so I don't know how you could hear that kind of whistle on top of everything else that's going on in that stadium.
I agree. And that's where... especially the trash can banging. The whistling makes more sense because it's a high-piercing sound and your ear's going to hear that more than just a thump. But I don't know.
Have you also heard, by the way, that that Beltran should be punished, if it's true, with the Mets, and he should be suspended? That Cora should be suspended with the Red Sox, if it's all found to be true? They were coaches and players on a team. They're not making these decisions. They're just rolling with them.
No, but if they do give it to AJ Hinch, do you think Cora should be get some kind of punishment as well? He had to know.
I don't.
No.
I don't. And again, I think the one thing that is forgotten in all this or keeps getting overlooked is everyone's been trying to do it for years. It's just the means in which they use to do it.
Yeah.
And if you use a lot of technology, you're going to be punished a lot harder than you are if you were just smart enough to figure out indicators and stealing signs. So we'll see how it all plays out. We always said it's all going to, you know, be sorted out in the wash at some point. But Rob Manfred said, obviously, they're going to continue to be very diligent on this. The whole process continues. We'll see where it ends. Where it ends for us is 4 o'clock. We got one segment to go in the show. We'll put a bow on it and wrap it up. Next, turn it over to Fred, AJ, and Nick Chirara from Las Vegas from The Fight as we head towards 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Chirara.
Final segment of the show. We appreciate you guys. Usual Suspects on an FEI Friday right here from the Gal Media Studios. Nick and Barry out. Aaron and Josh Jordan in. Having a great show. Spirited discussion. Really rolling along with participation from all formats. Text, tweets, calls, lots. And it's a discussion. It's not an argument. It's not whining. It's not homerism. It's not 610 radio, right? And we had all different points of view. And you guys were great today. And it really was a fun and really fast-moving show because of it. So that I just want to say I appreciate that. And I think I speak for all three of us. So also just kind of going over text messages and going through things again. You know, people have a lot of opinions on everything that went through, and someone said they want to know where to get the full audio of what you found and played from New York.
Yeah, that's actually a compilation of, it's about a 9-minute video that we condensed to like a 2-minute video. So we'll post that on SportsMap on Monday. But if you can't wait till then, just go to YouTube and look for, I think it's Tierney and Tiki. It's a CBS sports show. And, you know, just search that with Astros and it'll pop right up.
Dre says that guy with Tiki Barber we just heard in New York sounds like that Matt Peralt dickweed. Over the top rants, aimless direction. If you could just put in bad sports betting, you'd have a trifecta that no one could touch. So we got all that taken care of. Got some big college football games this weekend, fellas. I don't know how big A&M Georgia could be, but if A&M could finally show up, boy, could they put a wrinkle in the entire college playoff situation.
Oh, no doubt. We'll see what the Aggies can do. You know, I'm a Longhorn guy, Joel, so not a whole lot for me to root for right now.
Yeah, that's even in basketball. Everybody was hoping, including Raheel, they would beat Georgetown last night so they could get Duke tonight. Instead, Patrick Ewing and his boys just came in and slapped him right in the face.
Yeah, they did. I heard Raheel talking about that a little bit this morning.
Did he touch on it? I figured he would. He said he was going to try and watch it. Other big college football game this weekend, Ohio State, Penn State. A lot of people anticipating a good game. I am not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I just think Ohio State's the most talented team in the country, offense, defense. And just, you know, because of the fact that for all that LSU is on offense, I do have questions about their defense. And I sincerely hope those are the two teams we see at the end of the season, and they're playing for it.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, Penn State hasn't shown me enough to say they can play on the same field and be competitive with Ohio State.
No, I've been kind of on Ohio State for most of the year, so I'm not going to change now.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. And again, some people that say strength of schedule, LSU should be one. Some people say just eye test of talent, Ohio State should be one. But again, handle your business and you'll get what you wanted at the end of the year, which is all anybody could ask for, just like we've been talking with everything else. You get the best four teams at the end of the year and let them duke it out, let the best team win. People are happy watching college football.
No doubt about it. And I can't believe we're getting that close, man. Yeah. This season has gone by fast.
I can't believe Thanksgiving is next week. We had a potluck in the office today for the people to celebrate Thanksgiving with their coworkers before they all head off to do whatever they do next week. And I was like, God, with everything that's happened and been going on, it's crazy. Thanksgiving is next week.
It is flying by. And I know, you know, I do a lot of fantasy football stuff. Dude, the playoffs are right around the corner. You know, and I put my rankings up, check them out on Sports Map. You know, I'm like, week 12? I'm already putting that together. This
How about
is
that,
crazy, man. So, I mean, this year's just flying by, but, you know, that happens every year. You just wait until September, and then the season flies by, man. It's just, that's how it goes. But that means you love it, or it would drag.
NFL games this weekend, games you're going to be watching. Obviously, I'm watching Packers-Niners, which was flexed to the Sunday night game. But again, we talked about it earlier in the week. If you want to talk about, with the Texans not playing, but a good game on a Thursday night football, whether you were a Texans fan or not, national TV's games this week are very big because you have the Ravens and the Rams on Monday night. You have the Packers and the Niners on Sunday night. You had Texans-Colts on Thursday night. You have Cowboys-Patriots. I still believe Brady's going to play.
He probably will. He doesn't.
And this is a Belichick kind of gamesmanship thing, I think. But everybody wants to see that game. There's a lot to look at. Any games you're looking at and what you think is going to take place in the NFL this weekend?
Well, the Cowboy-Patriots one is very interesting to me. And we talked about this during the break a little bit. If Brady is indeed banged up, it wouldn't make a lot of sense for them to sit him against the Cowboys, because that AFC game against the Texans next week means a lot more to them, especially for getting, you know, their bye for the playoffs.
Right.
So if Brady is a little dinged up, and they don't, you know, they don't feel like for the next couple weeks he's going to be right, that'll tell us a lot if they do sit him for that Cowboys game. And it's in New England, and Brady, he hates the Cowboys. So
isn't that weird that we didn't find out till the press conference that he said he came out of the womb hating the Cowboys as a Niners
he's
fan?
He's a Niners fan, and he's from Cali. It makes a lot of sense.
And he said he's going to be a little extra jacked up for this one this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Cowboys need a win, need to stay ahead of the Eagles, need to win the division. They have looked better. Dak has looked fantastic. I had someone responding on text to your comments about if Jason Garrett and Bill O'Brien switch places and everything. They had the audacity to say that Zeke Elliott is the best running back in football. I don't know if you're living in a closet with covered in sparkling silver and blue, but if you haven't seen Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook play, then you are missing something, obviously.
Yeah, and even the biggest Cowboys fan I can think of, Skip Bayless, is saying with Zeke, you know, he's still a good bruising running back, but, you know, maybe not quite that elite top-end speed anymore.
This is why the owners have a hard time paying running backs big money,
yep.
And that's why their life expectancy in the league is so short.
And he just got that huge contract a couple months ago.
And he didn't have to get it.
No.
Remember that as well. I remember this. We appreciate you guys, the suspects, just like I appreciate Aaron and Josh filling in for Nick and Barry. They'll be back Monday, so will I. But until then, I want you guys to have a great weekend. Enjoy a lot of football and family and friends and fun and all the F-yes of a Friday. But enjoy it all weekend long, and we'll talk to you again next week. Blitz is coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.